First, let me say that the production of Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat was a fabulous production. Many thanks to all of our gifted and talented youth, and to Daniel and Claire, and for all those who helped make this production happen. Apparently, the talking camel was a big hit in the play. And my favorite part was when Pharaoh appeared as Elvis. I was kind of hoping that Joseph and Pharaoh would do a rendition together of Jailhouse Rock. It was all truly awesome. And as we continue with our sermon series on Joseph in worship this morning, I want to take a minute to review a little bit of where we have been and where we are today. I will not retell this story in song as the youth did so beautifully. That would not be good for anyone, but please join me as we listen together to Joseph's story. His story begins when he is a 17-year-old teenager. He is the second youngest of 12 boys, favored most by his father Jacob, as shown when he receives the coat with long sleeves and many colors. Joseph was a dreamer, and he dreamt about himself rising to greatness while his brothers and mother and father kneel before him. Joseph is a rather bratty and spoiled teenager. He flaunts his dreams and his favoritism, and his brothers become angry and jealous of him. And so they betray Joseph and throw him into a pit and then sell him as a slave to the Ishmaelites. And they tell his father, Jacob, that he has died. But Joseph's story is not over. He ends up in Egypt and he works as a slave for a man named Potiphar. And it is Potiphar's wife who soon becomes smitten with Joseph. But here, Joseph acts with integrity. He resists the advances of Potiphar's wife, but he ends up in jail, falsely accused of acting inappropriately. Now in jail, Joseph does not have dreams of his own, but he begins to interpret others' dreams, especially a baker and a butler who are also in jail. And Joseph's dreams interpretation skills become legendary, and eventually the Pharaoh himself comes to him with two puzzling, mysterious dreams of his own. And Joseph hears the Pharaoh's dreams, and he predicts that there will be years of bounty, and then a severe famine will come upon the earth. And so Pharaoh makes Joseph his right-hand man. And he is tasked with storing up and saving the food during the years of bounty until the famine comes. And the famine does come, as Joseph predicts, and now Joseph is the one in power. He is the one holding the key of life and death as starving people from around the earth come to him for food. And eventually, it is his own brothers who come to him hungry and in need. The brothers do not recognize Joseph, and they kneel before him. And as Joseph confronts his brothers, he is, as the commentaries say, ruthless and cunning and vengeful. He has not forgotten what has happened to him, and he is prepared to give his brothers as much grief as they have caused him. The family drama rises again. But the real mystery in all this, to me, is where is God? God has not been mentioned at all in the story to this point. And it seems so unusual, because throughout the book of Genesis, God frequently appears. He comes to Abraham, telling him to leave his family and friends and go to the land that the Lord will show him. And God appears to Abraham again, promising to give him a son and telling him that his descendants will be more than the stars in the sky. When Hagar and her son Ishmael are dying in the desert, God appears to them, opening Hagar's eyes that she will see water to save her son. And when Joseph's father Jacob is running for his life after lying and stealing from his brother Esau, God comes to him and says, "I am with you, and I will be with you wherever you go." Yet in Joseph's story, in all that he faced, there is no word from the Lord. Joseph only hears the sound of crickets. There is no voice from God saying, "You are precious in my sight. I love you." There is no voice from God saying, "Be strong and courageous." There is no voice from God saying, "Do not be afraid. I am with you, and I will be with you wherever you go." God is notably silent. Absent, hidden. Have you ever wondered, where is God? Have you ever felt as if God is absent, hidden, silent in your life? Joseph does not raise these questions, but others have. The Psalms are full of people who ask these questions. And when the Israelites are in exile, strangers in a strange land in Babylon, they think that God has left and abandoned them. Even Jesus on the cross cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Some have argued that the nails in Christ's hands, the betrayal of his friends were painful to Christ, but the worst of his suffering was the utter silence and abandonment of God. Where is the Lord? The truth of the story is that God is at work, moving and acting in the midst, and sometimes despite of the choices that Joseph and his brothers make. At this point in the story, though, Joseph and his brothers know nothing. They cannot see the big picture. But at the end, as they look back, Joseph will say to his brothers, "You intended evil for me, but God sent me here, because God intended it all for good, to save people." And the same is true for each of us. It may seem as if God is hidden, absent, silent, but he is here with us, right here and right now, and he is always at work. When the Israelites were in bondage in Egypt, it is God who leads them to freedom through the Red Sea. God leads the way through the sea, but his footprints were unseen. The Israelites walked by faith, not by sight. Bishop Will Willimon tells a story about a time when he was a college chaplain. And a 19-year-old young man who was a sophomore who had just taken a philosophy course had decided that all this Christianity stuff was a bunch of hooey. He did not believe in God anymore, and he had even written to his home church to take him off the membership rolls. And Bishop Willimon responded to him, "Well, a lot of sophomores think like that. We will see." But the young man responded, "We will see. We will see what? I am serious." "Fine," Bishop Willimon said again, "but we will see how God will take all of this." "What?" the young man said again. "My life is mine. I decide what I am going to do with my life." "Okay," Bishop Willimon said again. "Everyone who is 19 thinks like that. But as you go through life, keep looking over your shoulder. Because you see, God has ways. God has a determination to have us, to love us, to give us life. God is determined, and there is no door that he cannot slip through or knock down or kick down to have us and to love us. There is no attitude, no practice, no decision, no circumstances that God cannot change or adjust or overcome to have us, to love us, to bring us life. There is a lot of uncertainty and division in the world around us. The church, as we know it, also seems to be on unstable ground. People are turning away from God and from the church. And all of us deal with difficulties in our lives in one form or another. But the message of Joseph, the message of the cross, is that without knowing how or why, without always seeing or healing or feeling God, God is still always at work, bringing new life out of destruction, hope out of despair, growth out of difficulty. God is always working to make us whole. The struggle that we have is to believe where we have not seen. To be a people who truly do walk by faith and not by sight. There's a lot of talk these days about a concept called mindfulness. And mindfulness is the belief that God is with us, around us, right here and right now. And Christian mindfulness calls us to take moments in our day and our life to simply stop, to breathe, to acknowledge our thoughts and our feelings, both positive and negative, and then to give it all to the Lord, recognizing that God is with us, right here and right now. John Wesley called this practice watchfulness. And there are a lot of different ways to do mindfulness, but it can be a powerful and intentional way to remember that God is here and that God is alive. As some of you know, Reveille has a walking group that meets every Wednesday morning at 7 a.m. And it is a time when we exercise and share fellowship and spirituality. We read a scripture passage before we begin and attempt to memorize that passage as we walk around the neighborhoods of the church. We also just talk to each other about life. We stop and look now and then at the birds and the trees and the flowers. Sometimes we even stop for a minute or two to pray. Once we got into a discussion about heaven and hell and purgatory and the Catholic concept of limbo. But what I love about this group is that we are away from cell phones, from email, from calendars, from to-do lists, from Facebook, from television, from all the screens that are always around us. It can be hard sometimes to get up and get moving at 7 a.m., but it is truly a time when we breathe, when we do listen to one another, when we acknowledge the beauty of creation, and when we focus on God's word. And that is what I think pleases the Lord, when we are mindful of him during our days, when we are attentive to one another. Jesus says, the kingdom of God has come near. And he also says, I am with you always to the close of the age. The author Henry Nouwen once wrote, I am beginning to see how radically the character of my spiritual journey changes when I no longer think of God as hiding out and making it difficult for me to find him, but instead it is the Lord who is looking for me, while I am doing the hiding. Where is God? What do you think God is doing in your life and in the world? These are questions that I think we should always be asking as a church and as the people of God. The story of Joseph is a story about anger and jealousy and betrayal and family drama. It is a story where God's voice seems silent, where God's presence seems absent, yet God was at work then, and God is at work now, bringing new life out of destruction, hope out of despair, growth out of difficulty. Help us, O God, to believe where we have not seen. Help us, O God, to be a people who walk by faith and not by sight. Help us, O God, to be attentive and mindful of the gentle guidance of your Spirit throughout our life. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.